The world's failure to stop the genocide in Rwanda 20 years ago led to a new concept a decade later. That's the international principle known as Responsibility to Protect, or R2P. The idea behind R2P is this. Member states of the United Nations must protect their civilians from mass atrocities, and if they can't or won't, then other countries must find a way to do so. The world's Jeb Sharp recently met a young man who wants to dedicate his life to putting this principle into action.
Do we stand by and watch this happen again and again and again? The answer for me is no.
I first came across Dylan Hedler-Gaudette because he's an avid listener to this radio program. He posted on our Facebook page one day wanting to make sure we understood that the responsibility to protect does not necessarily mean military intervention. I was immediately taken with him. It's not every day you meet a student who cares passionately about topics you've almost given up trying to explain on the radio.
If R2P were a person, what R2P would say is, this is not about national interest. This is not about national security. This is about the human interest. This is about the security of all people, completely irrespective of what color their skin is or what God they pray to or what language they speak. This is about the universal truth that no person should ever be the victim of genocide.
I heard about Dylan just as we were embarking on a project to look at international security issues through the eyes of millennials. At 27, he was a perfect candidate. I called him up and asked if I could come visit him in Portland, Maine. On the way, I went to see his mom, Christine Hetler, who raised him. I wanted to find out how a kid who's never traveled the world or been in a war zone became obsessed with preventing atrocities in faraway places.
He came out screaming into everything, very curious, had his own strong ideas at a very young age. I don't know what made me realize that if I could not squelch that strong-willed nature because it would serve him well at an older age.
When I arrive at Dylan's apartment near campus, he's just back from the gym and making tea. Serious tea.
I found this great extra strength ginger tea, and then I also use a base of green tea, so I create my own little ginger green tea. The exact right amount of honey is the key.
Are you a man of habits?
Yeah. You kind of have to be if you're blind or visually impaired.
Dylan has been going blind since he was a young teenager. When I first found out, I thought his disability would be incidental to his story. Turns out, it's key.
I had no idea what I wanted to do, and a lot of that stemmed from dealing with going slowly blind was an extremely emotionally volatile experience for me. I didn't deal with it well. I was mostly in denial, and when I wasn't in denial, I was very angry and frustrated about it.
He was plenty smart, but he didn't go to college after high school. Instead, he worked a stultifying job in a faceless cubicle at a big insurance company. Still, the job taught him a thing or two. He struck up a friendship with the janitor who emptied his wastebasket at the end of the day. The man was a refugee from Somalia.
We eventually got to the point where he was telling me stories about him and his family. Some of his extended family had actually been killed very, very violently and very brutally, and that he had had to see it. He had had to witness it. Yet he somehow managed to be relatively optimistic, and he was just so happy to have made it here.
Those stories planted a seed in Dylan. He finally started college at the University of Southern Maine, but he was still angry, still in denial. He didn't avail himself of the technology that would have made his life easier.
Those years, you know, just built up, and finally I had a sort of a breaking point, you know, the cliched sort of rock bottom where I withdrew from school and decided that I needed to do something different. I needed to learn how to be blind, but be productive and effective with it.
Zoom text enabled. Zoom window full.
Dylan began training on the software and devices he now uses to do his work. He stopped feeling sorry for himself, and he re-enrolled at USM. And then, as if on cue, he met a teacher who changed his life.
We will continue with our NERC quiz on Monday.
Julia Edwards teaches political science at the University of Southern Maine. She's young, charismatic, and passionate about all things United Nations. Dylan signed up for a class she taught on peacekeeping.
I remember him coming to my office after a day where we had talked about responsibility to protect. It's something that I'm pretty passionate about. It's something I was very interested in my graduate studies. And he came into my office and basically said, I want to advance this. I want to make this the way the world thinks in the future. And, you know, I want to kind of become the guru of R2P.
Dylan never looked back. He's interned with two NGOs dedicated to advancing the concept of responsibility to protect. He's heading to law school in the fall. And his dream now is to become a prosecutor at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. He sees himself as part of a new generation searching for new paradigms.
We are the first post-Cold War generation. We have come of age being able to access and engage in the world much more widely than I think any other generation prior to us. We need to stop focusing on things like the national interest. The lines are blurring between countries and between peoples, and we need a global governance system that acknowledges that.
At the end of the day, I assemble the clues to my mystery. It turns out it's just life that led Dylan Hettler-Gaudet to his calling. A strong mother, a big dose of adversity, lots of empathy, some chance encounters, a great teacher, and blind or not, a remarkable vision. For The World, I'm Jeb Sharp, Portland, Maine.
By the way, Dylan and others on the University of Southern Maine campus are planning a special event tomorrow to mark the 20th anniversary of the Rwandan genocide.